Oh, yeah. What is this? I don't know.
Cost of razors has gone up, so we're... No, I'll explain all that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for these people. I thank you for those online. I thank you, Father, for Pastor being on vacation. I thank you for Diana being on vacation. I thank you for all that you're doing in our house, Father, in the midst of us. God, without you, Father, we would not even be here. Father, we would be someplace else. And I know that seems so obvious. But Father, I thank you. I so thank you for what you're doing. And Father, we just give you praise today. We thank you for the time of worship, for the offering, for the giving, for the announcing. Father, it's all for you. So Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't need those right now. I went for a week. Vade and I went for a week to Lake Charles, Louisiana. Yeah, in July. Yeah. And if you've never been to Lake Charles, Louisiana, or the South in the summer, it's just like California, except wetter. Much wetter. Like whether it's raining, it's wetter. I mean, it rained so hard one day. We were driving from Lake Charles to Baton Rouge, and the locals were pulling over on the freeway. That's how much rain was coming down. And I'm just like, no, I can still see the front of my car. And there's nobody on the freeway but me, so let's just keep driving. Now, it was 30 miles an hour on the freeway, but we made it. It was raining so hard. And then the other thing about it is if it's not raining, the humidity in Lake Charles is like, I don't know if you can be 110%, but it felt like 110%. I mean, it was raining from the inside. You know, it's just like coming out of you. But we went down to visit my son Shane and his wife Hannah. And we went down to, it's what I call a working vacation. Shane has had this dream, not working here. I wasn't working for you. I was working for someone else. But Shane had just been for months. He said, Dad, I really want you to come visit. I really want you to come visit. I want you to see what we're doing. I want you to be a part. I want you to see and be a part of what we're doing. And I'm thinking vacation in the South in July. Didn't I move away from that? And so I'm just like, I'll be honest with you, I dragged my feet. I was like, I don't know. Veda's like, we should go, that'll be great, we'll see Shane. I'm like, it'll be July in the summer. And so I finally took it out of my head and just started to pray and ask the Lord if I should go to visit Shane and Hannah and be a part of that. And I didn't really have an answer. And so I asked Pastor, you can hear God. Yeah, I can, but sometimes you just, in the stating the obvious, you hear something. So I started just sharing with Pastor about my thoughts about going. And I said, well, Veda really wants to go. Shane really wants us there. And Pastor just said, then go. I went, yeah, well, he's spending his vacation in San Diego. It's easy to say, be warm, be filled, go to Lake Charles. I'll see you when you get back in San Diego. So we went down there. We finally said, okay, I finally booked the tickets, told Vader, we're going to go, we're gonna have a good time. And then Shane says, just tell me all the things you know how to do. So Vader and I sent a little email telling the director, you know, what we do, what we're good at and that. So we get there. Now Lake Charles is a huge city. It's probably not, I think it's huge. It's an oil refinery area. It's got oil and gas, natural gas plants and all that. But it's really spread out. And Shane and Hannah live, for those who don't, I'm sorry. There is a lake in Lake Charles. Yes. But Shane and Hannah are part of an international humanitarian aid ministry called Friendships. Shane serves as the sergeant major of a group of Seahawks that can range anywhere between 18 to 25. And it's a paramilitary religious group. Okay? They treat you in a lot of ways like you're in the military, but love you like you're in the Lord in the process. And Shane's really good at it. He loves it. He's found his niche. But so we went down there to visit, and their base is called Port Mercy. It's Port Mercy for a paramilitary group. Yeah. It's 20 acres right on, it's not on Lake Charles. It's attached to Lake Charles, but it's the Calcasieu River, which comes from Lake Charles to the Gulf. Calcasieu. I didn't make it up. Probably some French Cajun guy named it. But it's right on the river. And this the Calcasieu River is deep enough to sustain ships. You know, it's a deep water river. It's not a river like we'd think of a river, you know, a creek or like they have in where I'm from in Massachusetts. It's a river. It's like the Mississippi. Okay, so it's a real river. It's, you know, it's a waterway and that. And so it's 20 acres of land right on the river. It's bordered between a metal junkyard to the north and another scrapyard and junkyard to the south. So it's prime riverfront property. It's 20 acres, people. I mean, 20 acres. So we went the first couple of days. We took Shane and Hannah on vacation and went to Baton Rouge and saw the fireworks on the 4th of July. We didn't see the fireworks. We didn't go because it was raining, but that was our intention and that. But so then we came back on Sunday night, and I'm telling you all this because this is part of the message. I'm not just like, oh, and by the way, here are my slides from the... I will show you a picture in a little bit, but we came back why don't we show that picture now, Kim? I might as well show you that picture. Since you're all went, what picture? Can you bring the lights down? Shane's not in the picture. I didn't bring any pictures of Shane's. Go ahead and bring the lights down so you can see. That is what Veda and I slept on. That is a cargo ship. And if you notice on the bow of the ship, you can't really see it. It's spirit. So for 5 days we slept and lived in the spirit. That was our sanctuary away from the air conditioning. All the way back you'll see we had this little sleeping quarters that was probably 5 feet wide by 8 feet long with a full size bed in it and a sink. You know. So we were roughing it. We really were roughing it for the Lord. But yeah, there's the spirit. And you can see the size of it because that's a full-size bus. You know, thank you, Kim. You're doing wonderful. It's a big ship. Okay, now take the picture away and come back to me. Come back. We go there and my idea, again, I'm kind of hesitant to go. Not because I don't want to see Shane, it's because I really don't like the idea of a working vacation. It's like, I'm just being honest. I'm thinking to myself, why would I go there and work if I could stay here and work? It's my son. Son's good. Relationship will cause you to do things that you don't want to do. Making your wife happy will make you happy. Listen to Petey's message this morning about chasing God and about the importance of identity, that you get your identity from who you're with. Okay? So we go there. The first day, we, you know, Again, that's a paramilitary group. Shane's been up since 5 in the morning. I got up at 6:30. Okay, 6:30 in the morning, we go to the mess hall, which is on the spirit. You go to the mess hall, and you eat. And you eat whatever they give you. Okay? This is a nonprofit 501c3 international humanitarian aid ministry that runs just like our church. You bring money in, you deal with it, it goes out. Okay, this is not the Hyatt. Okay, there was no little waffle machine or the toast thing, that the conveyor belt that brings your toast back to you. And you guys all know what I'm talking about, right? There's none of that. One morning we came to the mess hall and there was French toast, because the day before they got a delivery of bread, and there was some mystery meat thing. Found out later it was a hot dog stuffed with jalapenos and cheese for breakfast. Yes. Those Seahawks were so excited to have meat. Okay, I'm kind of giving you an idea on this, because this is where the Lord met me, was in the midst of this, and I want to get to that. But so you get up in the morning, you get up early. You're getting up at 6:30 in the morning, and I walk out my door, and it's already like in that hallway. Now, this is a big steel ship, okay, and it's like 100 degrees in that hallway. I go thankfully, our room was right next to the men's restroom, across the hall to the ladies' restroom, okay? So just to get up and go to the restroom, I'm like, I walk to the restroom, and I'm sweating. Okay, so the conditions are, this is loving Jesus to the best of your ability in the mission field of Lake Charles, Louisiana. So we go down, and Shane and Hannah, if you see it, or if any of the Seahawks, I loved every minute of it. I just had to acclimate myself to the moment. But we get there, and we go to mess tent, and the mess room, at mess hall, and we have breakfast. And then after that, they have what they call morning refreshing. And that's not where they spray you down with a hose. That's what you were hoping it was. But it was about a 45-minute Bible study time where all the staff, everybody who's at port, everybody who's on base, attends. They all come together in one. And they talk about scripture, and they lead, and they talk, and they have question and answer, and the Seahawks have to stand up and recite scripture. And it's funny, because someone say, "Do you have a scripture?" And someone will stand up and they'll say, "Okay," and they go like this. They go, and they'll hold up the thing and go to read the scripture, and Captain Ron or whatever will go, "Without the book." You know what I mean? Anybody can read it. You know, so we go through morning refreshing, which is a wonderful Bible study. It's a time where all of a sudden you start to see these people and who they are and what they're doing and why they're there. And again, when you sign up to be a Seahawk, there's probably 25 Seahawks there. Now, Seahawk is first year, second year, third year. Shane's 4 years in now. Hannah's 4 years in. But then there's also staff. That's all the leaders. And that they're all during their morning refreshing with you. All the staff members, all the leaders, everybody's there. And so you're starting to hear stuff in that. So we would go to that. You finish morning refreshing, and it's like someone turned the lights on and everybody ran away. You know, it's like the minute they say amen, nobody has to say go to work. They all know what their job is, and they all disappear. Except for Vade and I, who are sitting in this booth going, now what do I do? Who's going to? I'm like, Shane. And he's like, gone. He's got 25 Seahawks to give their jobs out to. So we're sitting there a few minutes, and I'm like, this is interesting. Finally, Miss Sheree comes, and she tells us, she goes, "Oh, Shane tells me you do a little electrical." And I go, "Yeah, I've done a little electrical and that." And they say, "Okay, report to brother, to Mr. John." I'm like, everybody's Mr. and Mr. in the South. right? It's just what it is. It's also on the base. It's a sense of honor. You always honor someone who's older than you. You always honor the position and the person. You don't just, you know. So I became quickly Mr. Brian. Shane still calls me on base while I'm there, sir. I said, Shane. And that's just, I'll bunny trail this. I said, Shane, you know what? There's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who know me. And every single one of them has the right to call me sir. I said, there's four people on this planet that have a special right, and they have the right to call me dad. I said, would you please call me dad? He says, yes, sir. Thanks, Shane. So they send me off. They go to the Coast Guard building. I'm like, it's 20 acres. They said, go that way. You'll see it. I wander off. They go to Veda. They say, the person who's in charge of domestics, that's for all of you who don't understand what you call it on a ship, is that's housekeeping. The person who's in charge of housekeeping's on vacation. So you're going to help the Seahawk who's in charge, who's doing that job in there. So Veda does housekeeping, domestics. She got to sort. They have a delivery every day of food. Gamma, you'd love it. They have all this food come in. They bring in trucks worth of food in bins, and they go through it. They take the food that they need for the base and keep the best for themselves. Don't muzzle the ox while he's treading. They take the next batch and they give it out to all these other churches and ministries for them to distribute to the poor. And they take what's unusable and they throw it in bins and they give it to a pig farmer. They lose nothing. Nothing. Nothing's lost. And then a couple times a year at the slaughter, the base gets bacon. Hey, whatsoever you sow, you reap. I was telling Guillermo the other day, I says, man, I wish we had some pig farmers around here. So if you're watching online today and you're a pig farmer and you live close to Camarillo, California, and you want our stuff that we get rid of from Channel of Blessing, you're welcome to have it. Call me here at the church. Or if you mulch stuff, if you're a company and you want stuff for mulch, right? You want to make a compost and that. If you want to do that, come talk to Guillermo or I, and we will get you the stuff we throw away. Because that's a much better cycle than putting it in the trash bin. So I'm just amazed at all this stuff. I'm like wandering off on my journey down. And so first day I did electrical. I ran 300 feet of Romex and installed 22 fixtures into this building. It was so much fun. I'm working at one point, and this second-year Seahawk comes up to me, and he's watching me work, and which is funny. He's watching me work. But I'm up there wiring lights and stuff, and he goes, Mr. Brian, do you do this for a living? And I look down at him from my ladder and go, no. He goes, what do you do for a living? Because you're really good at that. I said, I'm a pastor. And it's like his jaw hit his chest. You know, he just couldn't, in the South, I guess, you know, I couldn't figure it out. They quickly realized that, you know, I'm a different duck, you know. The next day, they put me on a job in the framing department, and they take all this old lumber that they get. Okay, again, everything given, nothing wasted. And so I spent like 6.5 hours with a table saw cutting big boards into little boards. You know, it's 110 degrees, 100% humidity, and I'm standing in the sawdust. As coated in. Sawdust is a good insulator from sweat. It just sticks to you. I looked like one of those shredded wheat. By lunchtime, I was like, okay, I'm doing this for Jesus. But in the midst of it, on that Tuesday, the second day we were there, I was cutting wood, and I'm just plowing through board after board after board of cutting this wood. I got the net behind me is the construction shop. They got conservative talk radio going. It's what channel they can get. And so they got this stuff going in the background, and it's all talking about conservative radio. If you've listened to it, you'll know it. It's just, it's what it is. But that's what they got going in that room. And then over to the other side of me are two guys that are doing plumbing in a new bathroom, and they've got their Bluetooth, and they're playing, I can't remember what you call it, Brian, but it's like scream, Christian scream music. It's like, oh, it's like crazy. It's like all down in the throat. I can't even do it. It sounds like a mixture of heavy metal and torture. And it's music, and it's Christian. I don't get it. So I got that on one side, and I got the conservative talk radio on the other, and I'm plowing wood through this circular saw, covered in sawdust. And to keep myself focused, I'm praying in tongues. Now, they're not opposed to it, but it's not what they do, okay? And that's nothing, I met people there who pray in tongues, I met some who don't. So I'm not even saying that. But I'm praying in tongues because I got this going, and I'm covered in sawdust out in the sun, in this little room, in the humidity, looking like a shredded weed. And I'm praying in tongues. Remember, a couple weeks ago, I told you that you are full of the Holy Spirit. The problem is we forget to stir him up. So I'm just stirring up Holy Spirit in the sawdust, okay? And all of a sudden, I start to hear the Lord. Well, let me back up. I'm one scripture ahead of myself because I want to give you this scripture. We all know it. We've all heard it plenty of times. It's Proverbs 18:16. And it said, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great people. Okay? So I thought, that's why I was there, because I have a gift. I have something given to me by God that allows me to work, allows me to do electrical lighting, allows me to take what I understand and take wood and throw it through a saw and make it smaller and all that. And that's why I went there, because I had a gift. I went to see my son, and I have a gift. But that word gift is interesting, because I looked up that word gift, because I was just like, "What, God, what do you mean by the gift? A gift. A man's gift makes room for him." So that word gift, it means present gift to give or reward. Okay? I said, I don't know. I looked it up, it kept going. But then it said, had a little highlighted thing and said the root of the word. And I said, okay, I want to find out what the root of this gift is. Now, if you're taking notes, stop now, watch it later, and write down this definition. There's no possible way you can write this down. Because it's going to open up in front of you the word gift. The word gift is to give, to put, to make, to apply, to appoint, to ascribe, to assign, to avenge, to be healed, to bestow, to bring forth, to bring hither, to cast, to cause, to charge, to come, to commit, to consider, to count, to cry, to deliver, to direct, to distribute, to do, doubtlessly, without fail, fasten, frame, get, give, given forth, given out, given up, grant, hang up, lay, lift up, make, occupy, offer, obtain, ordain, pay, perform, place, pour, print, pull, put, forth, recompense, render, requite, restore, send out, set forth, shoot forth, take, thrust, trade, turn, utter, weep, willingly, withdraw, would to God and yield. So see, God's given you a gift. The gift that you have is the action that you can do. Okay? All of that is what the gift is. Okay? So I'm there, and I've got my conservative radio. I've got the news over there, or the noise, scream. He came up to me and said, I apologize for my music. And I said, "Why? You don't have to." I asked him, I says, does it minister to you? He goes, oh, yes. I'm like, have at it. Sounds like the saw blade to me. But so I'm in that moment, and I'm praying in tongues. I'm stirring up the gift inside of me. And all of a sudden, I could feel, and I'm going to say I could see or sense, but it's more of a sense more than it was visual. It was no visual because my hands and my eyes were on the saw blade the whole time. So it was much more a sense of what God was doing. And all of a sudden, I felt the Lord's faithfulness come over me. And I was like, God, what is that? His goodness, his kindness, his love, his favor. And I knew it wasn't for me. And all of a sudden, I could see all around me, as if I had was standing in that place. I could see a panoramic of this 20 acres in front of me, like I was on a vista looking down at it. Okay, but I say all this because I don't want you to go, "Oh, it's an outer body experience." No, I was cutting wood at the same time. My fingers were all still attached, so I want you to understand. I was conscious, and I did not stop what I was doing, okay? But all of a sudden, I could feel the faithfulness of God towards this ministry, towards this international humanitarian aid, Christian, strong Christian leadership. And I started feeling and hearing the words that God had spoken over them. I started seeing the goodness of God all around me, even in the reclaimed lumber I was cutting. Even in the slop that they were throwing for the pigs, okay? Everything, I started just, and I was like, I mean, honestly, I think it was tears, it could have been sweat. But I could just feel the goodness of God. That's the only thing I could say, it's the favor, the faithfulness of him who set them on a journey. This year, they are celebrating their 30th year in ministry. And I could just feel the weightiness of the 30 years. And not the weightiness of the failure, the mistakes, the stuff, but the weightiness of the goodness of God in the midst of it. So then I'm sitting there, and I got my next board, and I'm cutting my next one, feeling all that. And all of a sudden, it changed from them to you, to Jubilee. All of a sudden, I could see and feel the understanding of what God's doing. His faithfulness and kindness, every spoken word, every prophetic word spoken over this house and over you, every action and reaction, every step out of faith, everything I tried to do and yet failed and didn't see the outcome I wanted, and yet I could see the triumph, the goodness of God coming from it. And I could just feel this, and I was just like, wow. God, you are so faithful. You are so faithful. You've got a plan in place that totally supersedes what we're doing. And not supersedes it like, ah, good try, now let's try it this way. No, it's, and so I just was just in awe of this, you know, in the midst, again, just doing the gift. Feeding wood through, chopping them off at 10 feet long, making boards for someone else to build a room. And I'm just feeling this presence of God. I mean, strong. I'm sitting there going, I expect that here. I expect that here in my secret place, in my quiet time, in the worship. That's where I experience that stuff. Not in a South bayou swamp, sweat covered. I was covered from head to toe with sweat. The guy, Mr. John, tells me, he goes, I have to change 3 times a day. I'm like, why would you change? I'm like, I would change out of these, and before I get back here, they would look like this. But that's where God showed up. And I'm just like, Wow. And he's just shown me this vista of his love for Jubilee and for you and for the saints and that. And I was just like, you know, wow. Keeps the next board through, you know. And you know what's funny about it? Nobody around me. Screaming plumbers with the music over, conservative radio, people walking. The founder drives by in the golf cart while I'm in the middle of this moment. Right? He drives by in a golf cart checking up on everybody, waves to me, I wave to him, keep going back. He's got no idea. No idea. In the middle of Lake Charles, Louisiana, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, you know, a prisoner for Christ, stuffing boards through, sweating the whole time. So I just started asking the Lord about it. I said, God, what do you want? Because he doesn't just give you an experience so you can go, wow, you're special. You know what? I'm special with or without an experience. So when something like that happens, when the word jumps off the page and the author starts to read to you, there's a reason why he's doing it. So I'm lightning fast to myself. Why are you saying this? What do you have to say to me and to we? Okay? So here's what came of my trip from Lake Charles, Louisiana, other than, you know, the joys of being with Shane and the rest of it. 1 Corinthians 1, starting with verse 4, says, I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short of no gift, eagerly awaiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also confirmed you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, there is a grace given to each person that comes only from God. It's not the grace that, oh, I'll give you grace, brother. It's not the shouting of grace. It's the grace. It's the individual substance that God gives you to wake up every day and to go about the stuff that you're in. Okay? It's the grace of God. And that grace of God is given so that you would be enriched in everything. Okay, that's enriched in you, and that you would enrich others. Okay, that you would have all utterance and all knowledge, and that you would come short of no gift. That word gift is charisma, and that word means divine gratitude, deliverance, qualifications, favor, kindness, pardon, rescue, forgive, divine influence. You're given a gift. God's saying you will come short of nothing that you need on your journey. Okay? You with me? You're not still in the Spirit in Lake Charles, right? So I come back. I spend a couple of days there. I came back. Had a little staycation at home with my family for a couple of days just to get settled. And so I wasn't here last Sunday. I come back, I see Pastor Steve. We're wandering around the building, kind of just seeing what VBS is doing. And Steve says, how was your vacation? And I went, vacation, yes. It was wonderful in Lake Charles. And I kind of give him the much more synopsis version of what I'm just telling you. And I tell him how about the stepping in and the just that. And he goes, whoa. He just says one thing. He says, whoa. And he says, listen to Sunday at 11 o'clock. Okay. Maybe he wants one more view on the YouTube. I don't know. I'm like, he doesn't tell me anymore. He doesn't tell me, look for a prophetic word, listen to this. Go ahead, listen to Sunday morning. Okay. So again, God's given you grace. Right? He's given you all knowledge, all utterance that would enrich others, enrich you, and that you'd be short and no gift. And then I go listen to Pastor's word. Okay? I listen to it. And all of a sudden, there's this part where he says he's talking about the multiplication of ministry. Anybody here last Sunday? Yeah. Okay, he says there's a multiplication of many ministry. It's the activating of every minister, every member, fully alive in their place. Okay, then he says this. Everyone activated, activate the what we have. Multiply it to do what we need. So it'll open doors for us to enter into where we're going, so we won't be stuck where we are. Okay? So he's going to activate what we're doing, multiply what we need, open the doors so we can enter into where we're going, so we're not stuck where we are. So I hear that and I'm like, what? That's this. That's the grace of God. That's the place that I'm going to take my gift. My gift. What do you have? Today I ask you a simple question. What do you have? What can you do? What do you have? What can you do? Whatever that is, that's what God wants you to use. That's what we have that he's going to multiply the ministry with. He's going to multiply the ministry, not here, yet it will work here, but he wants you to multiply the ministry out there. Okay? So I started meditating on this. I was saying, wow, that's real good. You took me all the way to Lake Charles to use my gifts so that I would step into the middle of the gifts and realize that in the midst of the situation and the circumstance, that in the midst of whatever I'm doing, you're still speaking. You're still stepping in. You have full access. Well, I don't need an open heaven here at Jubilee. We have one. But I don't need that. You can go any place if you're stirring up the gift within you, if you're stirring up the Holy Spirit inside of you. When you're stirring it up and doing what you have, you are a conduit for God to multiply ministry. Okay? And so I start going, oh, okay, God. So you're taking what we have. Doesn't matter. So I started saying, what if someone doesn't think they have anything? Does anybody think they don't have anything that someone else wants? No? I guess I was the only one who thought that then. Each of you have something. You have more than something. You have lots of somethings. Okay? But I started saying, God, where's the starting point? Where's a place everybody can start? Okay. Maybe because I spent time with VBS last week, I'm just thinking to the least common denominator. Okay? Where can everybody start? And John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And this all will know, and they all will know that you're my disciples, because you have loved one from another. See, it's not the action that you do that people notice. You know, it's the action intentionally done for God, for someone else. I know that kind of sounds like oh, it's mumbled and jumbled. But I went to Lake Charles to see Shane and Hannah. Okay? But in the midst of it, I made a conscious decision that whatsoever I'm going to do, I'm going to do for God. I'm not there to impress anybody. I'm not there to impress Shane. Okay? I'm not there to impress the people who are over Shane, who think, oh, this guy's really good. First of all, I have a job. I'm not moving. You can like me a lot, but I am not moving to Lake Charles, Louisiana. I did, by the way, it was interesting. I did get invited to go to a missions trip next year to Haiti by the ministry, and I did get invited to come to attend a conference they're having in November called the Jerusalem Call, and they're calling forth pastors from all over the country to come to Lake Charles to do what we do at Roots every Saturday. You know, it's to come to an understanding of the importance of our Jewish roots. Our roots in Christ. And so I may go. I ask the Lord, well, I'll pray. I'll pray. I don't know. But I'm not leaving. I'm not going to Lake Charles, Louisiana. God's not moving me out of the ministry. Please. I learned never say never, but I also realized that I'm called here, so that's okay. But love is the function that keeps, that takes what you can do and makes it evident for Christ. You'll be the person, if you can take the stuff that you have. Now, maybe you go, I don't really know what I can do. You know what? I'll give you a couple of practical things. I'll try to end it. I got to end. Wow, I got to end. Practical things. You know, we all remember that thing we heard when we were in Sunday school, that you may be the only Bible anybody ever reads, right? We've all heard that. It's true. Some of us are saying a lot of stuff that's not scriptural. But if you can take your action, if you can take the thing that God's given you, if you love to weed the garden, then weed the garden for the Lord. And you know what would be really cool? Go help your neighbor weed his garden. See, it's you can weed your garden. Scripture says even the heathens will do that. But if you'll take that gift of weeding the garden and you'll go do it for someone else, lay down your life. We all hear that. I'm going to lay down my life for Jesus. Good luck with that. The only way you lay down your life is not to get your way. The only way you won't get your way is because you had to do someone else's way. Okay? So you go take your weeding and you go next door and you tell your neighbor, say, hey, I not in condemnation. I just noticed you got a bunch of weeds in your yard. Maybe I should show them to you. That's not the love of Jesus. Doesn't work that way. His heart, the door of his heart just closed, and so probably the front door of his house. Right? But what if you go over there when he's working on his yard and you go, hey, you know what? Let me help you with that. Let me help you. Why don't you help the widow next door carry in her groceries? Why don't you push that shopping cart back to the store instead of leaving it out in the middle of the parking lot? Why don't you pick up the trash on your way? Okay, you can do stuff that's easy in the love of God. Not to impress people, not so they go around and go, wow, you're really great, you can cut wood. No, it's in doing it for the Lord and that you're intentional. See, that's faith. That pleases God. And in the midst of that, people notice you. Your gift make a way and people will notice you. You'll stand before kings. And that may not be kings of nations. It could be kings of industry. Could be kings of your neighborhood. Could be kings of the kindergarten your kid goes to. Okay? But the thing is that in the midst of doing it, you are touching people's lives. There's a multiplication of ministry. You say, well, what if I share the Lord while I'm doing the pulling the weeds? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe you need to wait. Maybe you need to be led by the Spirit and say, maybe I need to pull the weeds or carry the groceries a little longer before I open up my mouth. Okay? Maybe they need to see you doing it and start to see Jesus in you before you start to say Jesus from you. Okay? You carry it. And I honestly believe the Lord's gonna multiply this house. And you know what? There may not be any more people than that come into this building because of it. That doesn't matter to us. Doesn't matter to me at all. But if all of you are doing what God's called you to do, and ministry is working and lives are being changed, then butts and seats, that happens because God wants to do it, not because we work hard at it. The love of God, intentional, purposeful, laying down your life, will cause people to notice you. And that's not the love of God that's like, hi, brother, be warm and filled. Oh, I know you don't have anything. See, this scripture in Matthew says that that Jesus looked at the disciples and said, we'll always have the poor with us. That always bothered me. Still bothers me. But you know what? I started looking it over and I said, God, you know what? There's always going to be someone in need. There's always going to be somebody in need. So look for the need. Where can I help? What can I do? You know, you don't have to fix everything. Man, I worked years and years and years trying to fix stuff for people. You can't fix stuff. Some stuff's just whatsoever you sow, you reap. And they're stuck in that until they stop reaping. And you can't fix it. But God don't want you to fix it. That doesn't mean God doesn't love them. That means God wants you to show them the love. God maybe wants you to step in and pull their weeds or take their cart back. Or whatever it is. See, it's a simple action. I'm just cutting wood. Keeping my fingers out of the saw blade. And yet God shows up and says, you know what? I'm going to multiply ministry. I'm going to multiply what you already have. And can't we all go right now and find 3, 4, 5 references in the Bible where God multiplied what they had? Oil, happy meals. Well, that's the fish and loaf for you who don't know my translation. Right? But he took what they had. For the longest time, I think the church has stopped looking at what we had and expected God to do something big. Revival. It's going to be the Hebrides all over again. It might be. But long before the Hebrides was the Hebrides, there was a couple little widows who took what they had, time. They took time on their knees and crying out to God. Okay? So take what you have. We've all got something, right? Take what we have and start using it. Start laying down your life to see someone else. Okay? So I wonder if I did this, if that would. I wonder, here's what I've been telling myself. I wonder if God could use this. I see a need. I wonder if God could use this. I wonder if God could use that. Do you think he could? Think he could use something as simple and silly as you taking the something you can do and multiply ministry from it and see people's lives changed? I'm fully confident he could. He'd mobilize his people better than a bunch of Seahawks in morning, you know, what do they call it when they all get together? Formation. He could take every single one of you and have you have an effect at your work, your neighborhood, your shopping store, the mall this afternoon, buying shoes. You can go buy shoes for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, no, all husbands, I'm sorry. Husbands, you'll have to go and, you know, bear the bags and... How do I always end up there? Last scripture, John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I'm tired of doing nothing. Tired of doing stuff, and I'm expecting God to meet me somewhere and do something, and you know, I'm supposed to do all the right stuff, and all God's asking me is, what do you have? I believe God's ready to multiply. I believe God's ready to burst. I believe for Jubilee, for the body of Christ to be a light that sits on a hill for all to see, it means you're going to have to first become a light that sits on a hill. And your hill might be in your neighborhood, your work, your place of business, buying shoes at the mall this afternoon, wherever that is, right? But we've got to change the way we think. Ministry is not done here. Multiplication of ministry will not happen here. It'll happen out there. It'll happen wherever you're going for vacation this year. It'll happen if you don't get to go on vacation this year. It'll happen tomorrow at work. You carry inside of you the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead. The fullness of the Godhead. So stir them up. Stir them up. Stir them up. And then take what you have. And then watch what he does. In the midst of that, I believe we'll see ministry change. We'll see increase. And that. And you know what? Maybe you don't want to start out there. Maybe you're like, oh, you don't know where I work, Pastor. Okay. There's a bunch of kids back there. Could use a teacher, an assistant. There's a food ministry across the street, across the parking lot, that could use drivers or people to lift heavy. Well, I could lift a box. I could lift boxes for Jesus. I could drive. Whatever it is. I'm just saying, ask the Lord. But I'm going to say ask the Lord, but I'm also going to say, if he doesn't answer you, just do whatever you're doing. Take the next thing that you're doing. Take the next place you see a need and step into that. Don't try to fix the need. Just step into the need with what you have in the love of Jesus and a stirred up Holy Spirit and watch what he'll do. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you are faithful. And every word you've spoken to this house and to these people, Father, you will perform. And you'll do it exceedingly above and beyond our expectations or our imagination. So, Father, I thank you that as we go out this week, that, Father, we go out full of Holy Spirit. Father, remind us how we're to stir him up, how we're to stay active and intentional. Notice that where we're at and what we're doing. Father, help us to see the needs of those around us. And then, Father, help us to be able to step out in the love of God to do something to see people's lives changed. And I thank you for that, Jesus. Amen. We'll have the ministry team up front if you came and you need an agreement for prayer. In other words, we'll see you on...